WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am back from the NFL owners meetings. I don't know that I'm appropriately tanned, but at some point I will shave before we get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're doing something very, very special this week. You're probably going to hear the remnants of it. My dear friend Hugh Sisson came on from Heavy Seas Brewery last week to talk about their Ukraine benefit and brewing American Red Ale with the Pravda Brewery that is under attack in Lviv in Ukraine, using their bottles for Molotov cocktails. They're not making beer, but Hugh is making it. We're going to be drinking it along with my friend Patrick Russell from Cooper's. Going to bring the Chow Hound down. We're going to have the Cooper's Crab Cake, all part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. I am back from the owners' meetings. I will have plenty to say about ownership and the Ravens and the Orioles and opening day and all that. But, Don, this is going to be a celebrated piece here. I'm going to let you set this up because this is really your relationship. Because of the plague, I only know Kerry Engel through TV. My wife thinks Kerry Engel's like a superstar, like Marty Bash, kind of like on TV, you know? So my wife brought me a plant for this segment. But you tell everybody, what's the God's honest truth? You're going to tell everybody that this is a by request segment, right?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, you know, when Kerry Engel is on or people find out that Kerry is going to be on, they love this segment. Everybody, I think it's a sign of spring, right, when we had Kerry on. And greenhouse manager Kerry Engel from Valley View Farms. And Kerry, before we go much further, I mean, I'm always feeling old anyway. But when I went back over your bio again today. I said, let's just go take a look at Kerry's bio again. And it said 1972. And I thought, 1972?
That's when you started now, teaching, right?
I did. That's absolutely. Here we go. Kerry started Valley View. I started at teaching. Kerry, Sister John Brebeuf would be very proud of me from St. Mark's back in the day. But I think I can do the math. I think you've been at Valley View 50 years.
Well, look, to be honest, I started there 50 years ago, true, this month. So that's pretty cool. I did leave for about 5 years. I tried to forget about that. I left 80 to 85, came back Mother's Day, Saturday in 85, and have been there ever since. And I love the family. I love the job. I love the people that come
now,
in.
Now, Mother's Day, Friday, 1985, was the weekend of my prom at the Hunt Valley Marriott. And I remember Don Moeller dancing to some lover boy working for the weekend. So we had good times back then. Kerry, listen, this is by request. Like, seriously, my wife and I left the city. I remember we got together with you last spring, and I dreamed of tomatoes and Cherokee tomatoes and like different things, heirlooms of all kinds. And my wife had never had a garden, and my mother had a garden over in Dundalk. My son's had a garden. And when my wife went over there, even bald when she wasn't supposed to be rooting in dirt when she had cancer and all that, she was over there pulling out weeds. So my wife really likes the woods. It's one of the benefits of living near the woods. I have so much to get to today. First off, there's the raccoons. Let's start with that. You know, like in growing and the deer and the squirrels. She's feeding them all. They're all circling. All the birds are pollinating and doing all sorts of things around here. But the first thing is this. I don't like mosquitoes, okay? So before we get to tomatoes and fighting off the critters and the coon dogs and all those kinds of things, I want to create a fortress around my place, like a shelter for mosquitoes that they don't come in any way. And I'm going to come up and visit you in Hunt Valley. And I need a full lesson here for my audience, for the tenderfoot guy that has not had a mosquito bite in this city in 20 years, because I've lived on the 23rd floor downtown. They're coming for me, aren't they?
We can help you out there. They have come for me in the past. I mean, obviously, the best thing is to get rid of any standing water, but we have a nice natural solution for it, mosquito beater, mosquito bits that you can put down. It has natural BT in it, so it doesn't affect birds or any other wildlife negatively. So that's probably the way to go.
Well, I was thinking, like, I've been reading on this. So Don knows that I don't prepare for any of this, but I've been reading on the outside on this.
Shocker. What a shock.
We have that in common. We're good.
A teacher, that's fine. He's always going to say that. I always get to the solution. So for me, there are plants like natural citronella kinds of things that I'm thinking if we're going to build a little mini deck, because it's just two of us, our place is small. We don't need much. We just need a grill, Right. We need to have a really nice grill. I need to have an area. And if I have to build a tent and if I have to get the little purple zappers and 100, I will. But let's start with this. Let's start with I have a wall and there's no mosquitoes behind me. And if we could build some bushes around and set out some toys, like I want to bring on full. I'm coming to you at Valley View. Now I want you to code red me. So that in August, I still enjoy living here because I really have enjoyed it. But I'm looking out the window now and there are little buds and there have been little buggies. My wife has a cup. She calls it the bug cup. When she catches crickets, she takes them outside and she said she caught another one. Mosquitoes are not going to get that pleasure from me. They're just, it's going to be, you know, so I know there are mosquitoes. I'm not crazy, but there's got to be some better way than like building a tent or staying inside.
Yeah, there is. And I mean, some of the citronella plants, I've heard good and I've heard that it doesn't really do much at all. So some of that is just going to be testing on your part. That's where I go back to the BT because those formulas really do work to keep mosquitoes out.
What is a BT?
It's a Bacillus thuringiensis.
Why do you call it BT?
Okay. Yeah, BT, israeliensis. And what it does is it kills mosquito larvae before it even gets started. So wherever you might have some areas, you know, it'll really do that. But again, it's a natural product. So it's not like going out with DDT, not that we use that sort of stuff anymore, but not going out with synthetic insecticide to get rid of it. This is something that occurs naturally anyway. So it's just putting it out there where you want it to be to keep the mosquitoes away.
We need the bees doing what the bees do. I've read up on that too. Gary Engels here. Don is here. Don, your thumbs are green. I mean, I call you this time of year, Linda and I are out in the garden. Parisian thing you have going on.
Let's not confuse the pecking order here. I may throw some mulch around. Anything that grows on this property is Linda Moeller. It is not me. Now, I do have, there are some questions for Carrie related to that. Carrie, we've got a whole bunch of packs of little seeds. Last summer we grew, we got started late, but boy, we enjoyed it. We had lettuce, and I don't think we bought lettuce for months and months, and it was terrific just to go out every night and cut your own lettuce. Is it about the time when it's safe for us to plant those lettuce seeds now?
It's pretty close now that we've reached this. I think we have a 35-degree low coming up here, and I'd probably wait until after that, but you're in good shape. I normally would have said you'd been okay last weekend, but I would have been wrong. So
lettuce, people tell me, if you're planting lettuce, it is something that you want to plant in early spring. Is that correct?
You do. It's going to be something that doesn't do quite as well in the summer heat. So it's good to kind of do on the shoulder of the season, do it in the spring, do it again in like late summer, early fall. And you can have it going on for a long, long time.
Great. Hey, Carrie, now after 50 years with a miserable 5-year hiatus, as you described.
It was awful. Yeah.
after 50 years, is spring still exciting at Valley View? Do you still get a little extra giddy up in your step in spring as people are coming in?
There's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, it's what I live for. I think a lot of people I work with feel the same way. It's just people growing plants. It's just such a nice thing for families to do together. You can do it at any age. And there's still some gratification when I grow something outside for the first time, whether it's a new tomato plant of some kind, or maybe I plant a new tree. I'm really excited. Back behind me, I have an open lot and they just planted 3 acres of mixed trees, all natives, to sort of as sort of a conservation effort. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. That's right in my own backyard. So I'm very excited about that. I don't know how you can't be excited about spring. It's hope and renewal and everything you want about the positives in life.
There are always things, Carrie, it's, you know, in life and in all avenues of life where there are trends and things come and things go and things get hot and then they're not hot. Is gardening like that? When you think over the 50 years, have there been periods where certain things everyone was really into and then they aren't? And I guess what I would say is that true? I have no idea. And then if it is, what's hot right now? What are people into right now?
Well, it's funny because what's hot now with millennials in particular are houseplants. And they were hot when I came in. So when I started in the 70s, it was all about macrame hangers and weeping figs and all that sort of thing.
I saw that in Three's Company. It was like on TV. You know, that's what they always had, hanging plants.
That's right. They always had ferns somewhere in the background. All the bars had ferns.
It was California, right? There you go.
Yeah. But I think now, I mean, with the pandemic and everything, we had like a 20 to 30% increase in gardening in the last couple of years, which is phenomenal. And a lot more people that want to grow their own food, a lot more people into natives. And you talked about it, the bees and how important they are, and butterflies and hummingbirds, and just bringing all that sort of together. And gardening does that. And we can all be a part of that, whether it's a little container that brings monarch butterflies to our area. We're planting again that whole forest of trees that's going behind me that I'm really excited about.
Carrie, I could show you the pictures of my cat looking out the window at the squirrels, at the raccoons in the middle of the night, the raccoons that have come up to take my wife's bird seed off and destroy everything, the deer that run through here, the beautiful red fox out searching for food, foraging for her little den. I said, we haven't, and this is, and Mueller and I are going to get sideways on this because we'll fight about baseball next week. I cut my cable TV.
I wore my Cooperstown shirt today.
All right.
I'm talking about plants now. Here we go. So, we moved out to the county, which Johnny O was very happy about. I haven't talked to Brandon about that yet. We moved out to the county and we have space where we can have a little garden, right? And my wife has thought about the garden. I've thought about the mosquitoes. You know, we've had some construction issues, but we're like there, right? Like Don booked you on today knowing I was coming back from the owner's meeting. I wanted you on a month ago. My wife was talking about freezes and killing stuff and like all this other stuff. And the issue about Don with lettuce, which sounds delicious, and all the tomatoes that my buddy Ron Zukowski grows, which are delicious. And you had talked about soil types and like you had all this science that the biggest thing I'm worried about, and when I've driven through the area we're in where other people are growing plants, is they have a dedicated fortress. Don, I mean, you got lettuce. I'm telling you, that lettuce would not last 10 seconds. We have rabbits out here.
I'm with you. I have it all. And I have but I now have a 110 pound Malamute and a fence. So that has really helped me out a lot. I have you before I had him and before I had a fence, I used a lot of repellents. I've had a raccoon in the house. I've had rabbits and possums and everything around here all the time.
How do you keep them away from the tomatoes for real? Like what do you really have to think about if you're starting from scratch? Like, so we have, not say unlimited budget, but unlimited of what, you know, space. We don't have to, chicken coop? What do you do? I mean, how do you erect something like this out here so that 3 months worth of my wife's work doesn't come out one day and the raccoons are giving us the middle paw while they sit there and eat my tomatoes?
I mean, I certainly would consider a fence around the area, no doubt about it. Raccoons, you can sort of keep going. Groundhogs will go under the fence, so you usually have to go.
Oh, I forgot about the groundhogs.
You have to put a ground wire and have it go down just a little bit deeper. Again,
they're so damn cute, right? But I saw like the golf movie, like Caddyshack, right?
Oh.
Like
Nestor, there are moments when Linda Mueller turns into Bill Murray chasing down. I mean, she'll have, like you said, all that work and she will walk out. I mean, we looked out the other night and here we are in Catonsville. Now, admittedly, not very far, right up the street from the state park. But the deer are just up and down the street where I live, as if they own it. They could care less about it. They're just looking at you, and the deer feel that it's their territory as much as ours. But
I had a deer here the first day, look through the window, and like move its hoof.
Welcome to the county.
Look at me like she was going to go through the window and eat me and my cat. Welcome, my cat's welcome. Tail got is like, you know.
I like the way Carrie said it. Well, we always say that when Carrie Engel is on, it's a high interest show. So Linda was in the other room. She knows Carrie's going to be, and right in the middle of the show, Carrie, Linda walks in. And for those of you listening, got a big leaf.
Is that marijuana? Is that cannabis on the
show? Well,
leaf?
I'm going to
that?
Ask Carrie because she was just talking about how houseplants. My wife loves whatever this is. It has taken over our family room. And look at what's happening with these brown edges, Carrie. What is it and what is happening to this plant?
All right. It's Philodendron Salome.
What is it? I'm sorry.
It's Philodendron and it's the variety of Salome. It's S-E-L-L-O-U-M. And it is a very large leaf, split leaf Philodendron. It may have been in a pot too long, or maybe it's in the pot and it isn't able to drain as well as it. I consider just repotting that into a larger pot with some fresh potting soil. Always use potting soil, not garden soil or topsoil. Always use potting soil. And that should get it going. It's just somehow there's the roots aren't doing good. And when you pull them out, you're going to see some brown roots. Just cut that out of there.
Do we cut the brown edges off before we repot it?
You can do that, or you just take the whole leaf off if it's just a few of them, because it'll come back in no time. You know that's going to be a monster.
Well, it is a plant that is near and dear to my wife. It is the feature of the family room. So we will be buying the bigger pot and the potting soil. So again, all of your gardening questions answered with the one.
Hold on. I got a gardening question.
Oh, there you go.
So do you know what this is?
Yep, that's an orchid. Oh, that's Phalaenopsis, or the moth orchid.
All right, so let me tell you what. I think it's plastic, because the damn thing, nothing ever happens. And when my wife leaves, she's like, put a little bit of water in it, but not too much water in it, but just a little bit of water in it. And I'm like, and then she'll say, stick your thumb in there. See what? And I'm like, you pull my
finger. This is your best. This arthritic hand, but this is your best watering implement. Take that knuckle right down. Yep, that's it. Take it down about two knuckles.
God, you sound like my wife. My wife's been listening to you too long over BAL. This hasn't bloomed in 2 years.
All right,
she's wondering, when do you quit on it?
What are you feeding it?
I don't know what she's feeding it. Maybe all right, water.
Give it some orchid food, and you can also give them some blossom booster. Now's a good time to start feeding your houseplants again, because we kind of gave them a break November to March, but now it's time to start feeding them.
Blossom bloom? What?
It's you can get just an orchid food or a blossom booster.
Blossom booster. Okay.
Blossom booster. Yeah.
It's like a COVID shot. COVID shot, Nestor.
I'm 53 and just got back from Florida. I need one of those, whatever that is.
COVID shot. Hey, Carrie Engel, greenhouse manager, Valley View Farms. Carrie, it seems to me that I love small business. That's why you're one of my favorite entrepreneurs. I'm assuming that in the gardening business, in the greenhouse business, you're always looking for ways to reinvent yourself. Seems like all my small business folks are always looking how to reinvent themselves. How do you continue to reinvent yourself at Valley View, and what's new and what's coming down the road?
Well, I think, as you mentioned, it's staying on top of the trends a little bit and making sure that you have good quality plants available and the knowledge and everything to help people get going with it. Now, we haven't gone to online retailing or anything. We want to stick with our brick and mortar store. We've been there for a long time, and it's worked out well for us and continues to. So I think most of it is just staying on top of things. This year has certainly been tough on a lot of small business in getting good labor. You know, we need plenty to keep us running, especially through the next couple of months. Trying to take some supplies now and then, we have some issues with. Luckily, we grow a lot of our own plants, so that hasn't been as big a deal. But things like fertilizer and pots and soil have all gone up. So just trying to keep that connectivity, I guess, between us and our community. Hopefully they'll let us know when we're doing it right, when we're doing it wrong, so we can, as the saying goes here lately, pivot if we need to. But most of it is just about being a part of the community and doing what we need to do.
Can I get a grill in your place if I need a grill?
Nestor?
Can I get a grill in your place? What else do you sell? Because I didn't know. I said to my wife, I think they might have grills. They might have for the things that we need for my home, because we're starting from scratch. Like literally, we moved to the county and we're like, all right, what do we need to get from you? What do we need to go to the box shops? How are we going to do this? Because we've never been married 19 years. I've never had a garden. Really in my life, I've never from scratch at it. I mean, you know, like you, Mo was laughing at me. Like I was watching ball games. I didn't have any time to fight creatures and white marsh, you know, I had fox out there and groundhogs. They would have taken me down anyway. My neighbors gave me stuff.
You can use Elmer Fudd out there with your rifle and, you know, just going out.
This is the first time that we're doing this from scratch. And I guess I knew that the deer might eat our stuff, but I had no idea how many creatures of God. I told my wife, we got rid of cable television back on the 20th of January. I said to her, I said we have Wild Kingdom out the window. We don't need cable. We don't need cable TV here.
No doubt about it. So we do. We have patio furniture. We have pots. We have plants of any kind, water garden stuff. And plenty of all that. We always kind of stayed away from like lawnmowers and grills and some of that because, to be honest with you, we had an Ace Hardware store right next door. They moved down the hill a little bit. So, but that's where I go to get my grill. That's where I go to get a lot of that kind of equipment and stuff, because I still like the fact that I know the owner when I walk in the front door.
I like that about everywhere I am. People like that about my place too. Yeah.
Nestor, I think Carrie mentioned running to Ace. I think many of those hardware stores, they'll put it together and actually deliver it for you. They'll actually put it
on. They'll take the old one away.
It'll be one-stop shopping.
Don, in putting together our project here over the last 3 months, I've had local people and I've had non-local people. And, and you're waiting on some things and, some things can be provided. There's nothing like knowing the person behind the counter. I did a segment last week with our friends from KO and Epic Pharmacies about local and how that matters. So that's why we love having you on, Carrie. Appreciate it.
That gets us to one of my questions, Nestor. Boy, you what a segue. And that is, Carrie, there's always this pressure. And again, nothing against the big box stores. They serve a purpose. But it would seem to me that one of the things that you always have to compete with at a Valley View is the pressure of a big box store. In your strategy, how do you do that? How does Valley View continue to be popular and relevant in the midst of the big boxes?
I think in general with plants, we are able to get, like I can go into a box store sometimes and get, say, a redbud tree. But if you go into Valley View, you can get 11 varieties of a redbud tree. Same with tomatoes. You can get 70, 80 varieties if you want to. So some of it is just those broader offerings, I want to say. But a lot of it is, I started there 50 years ago. There are probably at least 7 or 8 people that have been there 40 years or more at Valley View that, are kind of the same way, that they just know their stuff. They believe in what we do, I think. The box stores, especially Depot with Bell Nursery, have done much, much better. But I think we're still able to stay ahead of it a little bit and to just give people much more broader experience, I want to say, a lot more things. And hopefully especially the people that have been around for a while are helpful in helping you make some decisions. Because gardening's hard. I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And there are, I have a herd of 19 deer that come around now and then. So I've got to remember to spray my hostas in the front yard. They don't bother my backyard. But if I forget to spray them every 30 days, I go out and they've munched some of my bigger plants. And it's
perfect. And some of it is so counterintuitive to me, Carrie. And I'm assuming that we did the right thing because, again, my wife follows you and reads a lot and keeps up. So we have a lot of what are the roses that are so popular?
Knockout
roses around the property. And, they get real big. And she said the other day, I'm a little late, but we've got to go out and cut them way back. And it breaks my, I'm thinking, it breaks my heart. She says, trust me, this will help them grow and get even bigger. I mean, some of the stuff is so counter. If you'd have told me to go out, she normally in the old days would give me the Dickens because I cut things. She said, would you go trim that? And she'd come out and I would have almost killed it, right? And she'd go, oh, my God, what did you do? But this time she said, no, you're not cutting it back far enough. Talk to us about knockouts because they're everywhere. Why are they so popular, Carrie?
Well, they're so popular because when they came out, they were really one of the first roses that were disease resistant. So roses always got black spot, powdery mildew, and that sort of thing. So the knockouts gave you a nice bloom without all of that. They don't always have a fragrance, so people still go to some of those older roses for that. There's also another group of roses. I'll call them drift roses. They're probably called something else these days, but they're shorter, and they just bloom all summer long, and you don't have to worry about it. And that's it with the knockouts. They go in and out of bloom, but they'll go all summer and well into the fall. In fact, mine
almost to Thanksgiving, Carrie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I mean, remarkable. Well, here's Nestor's $10,000 question. And most of the folks who are listening, and I thought about it the other day when I looked in the garage, and there were all of Linda's tomato cages ready to go again. Folks love growing their own tomatoes. So tell us
because they taste good.
They do. All the difference in the world,
right? They love tomatoes, and talk about. You've got so many. What are the really popular ones? And I like the really big ones.
Which are the ones that deer and a raccoon don't like?
Let me know. When you find that out, let me know. People like different things, different tomatoes for different things. I love cherry tomatoes because the kids go out, they love them, they pop them in their mouth, So in that, I like a variety called Sun Gold. It's a little orange one, but there are so many different ones out there. There's some now that have little black stripes on them in the heirloom tomatoes. I like the great big tomatoes. Some of the, you were talking about Cherokee before. Brandywine are great. I grow a lot of probably two tomatoes that I have every year are the plum tomatoes, because I can take those plum tomatoes, freeze them, throw them in my freezer in just little Tupperware things, and then just pull them out as I need them and throw them into chili, throw them into spaghetti sauce, whatever it might be. And all I have to do is hold them under the water and take the skin off and then pop them in the pot and they're ready to go. So I like San Marzano's there, the Roma tomatoes, a lot of different ones.
Oh, celebrity. Man, you're making sauce is what you're doing. You're making sauce.
with those San Marzano. I think you fun little people out there at Value, you've even given a name to the tomato excitement, right?
Yeah, we call it Tomato Tornado. And what we do is we grow all our tomatoes from seed over at our farm. Our farm's in Hydes, Maryland, over by Bordy Vineyards. But we do an extra like 40 varieties. So we end up having some close to 80 varieties on that first weekend in May. This year, it's April 30th and May 1st. And it's just fun to go out there and see all this different stuff. And some of them are from Russia and some of them are from, well, they're all from the Americas originally, but then they go to Europe and they somehow come back. The San Marzano tomatoes have to be started at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. There's one tomato called Mortgage Lifter. The whole name is Radiator Ray's Mortgage Lifter Tomato. And he would take his tomatoes in West Virginia, and he would just keep breeding them to have bigger and bigger tomatoes in a little hybridization he did right there. And he sold them for $1 a piece, and he was able to pay off his mortgage. So wow. He's a Mortgage Lifter. So just there's a lot of those kind of stories. And again, I think that's what makes almost anything fun are the stories that you bring to it. And you two know that better than anybody.
Well, I made a mistake. I said we were going to make tomato sauce. Wrong term, because we learned, and I learned this from a real Italian person, Don, the difference between sauce and gravy. Sauce comes out of a can or a jar. Gravy is made with love. That's the difference between gravy and sauce. Carrie Engel's here. She's over. Tell me how the best way to find you. I mean, my wife and I, we need you. You know what I mean? We got problems around here. And honestly, I really would love to do something beautiful outside my wife's window where she works from, so she can have whatever colors and seasons and things like that. But she came to you. She did come out to your place in regard to bird feed and like all the different stuff that we do outside. The first thing she wanted to do was feed the birds and not realizing the squirrels were going to come eat it all. And she's going to spend half her day yelling at the squirrels to get out of my tree, leave the birds alone. And then the cat stalks the birds and in the bird thing. And then she leaves the bird thing out. I have a video, and like, I'm not kidding you. 5 o'clock in the morning, I looked up and I thought my cat was outside the window, and I went to the window and it was a raccoon trying to eat the bird seed off the window. So let's not act like my wife grew up in some, you know, farm, because she didn't know any of this stuff. And we are learning by making tragic mistakes, kind of like Linda's plant there with the thing on the outside, right?
Look at this thing.
It's going to come back around.
The only mistake for me will not be that the deer eat all the tomatoes. The issue are the mosquitoes. So I want to come back to this. I'm going to come out and visit you. You're going to like give me this stuff. What is this stuff?
Yep. Well, that's that VT we were talking about. So just come out there. I'm there. I'm usually off on Wednesdays and Thursdays, or I'm off doing other things. But I am there 7 to 3 at least.
We're coming by Saturday. Were you there Saturday?
Yeah, I'm there Saturday.
All right. We want to come by when it's mobbed and you don't have any time and you're over.
Nestor, here's a little news flash. You will survive a mosquito bite. It's part of living in the county.
No.
You'll be okay. You'll scratch a little bit.
I am not spending the summer scratching. Trust me. Hey, I go to Jamaica for 6 days and I'm bathed in the stuff. And I generally, they don't get me the first day, second day, but about day 4 or 5, they start working their way in. And then I got to get out of there and get back into the sky downtown. I'm telling you, I'm going to move into the Hyatt if this doesn't work out this summer. All right.
It'll be fun. Nestor, I went vacationing in Maine years and years ago, and it was a really wet summer out camping, and every mosquito in that park found me. So I understand how miserable
you understand.
Well, my wife understands it. Like, we'll make a steak outside or some salmon or throw something on the grill or whatever. But me sitting out there after 6:45 p.m., whether it's 84, 104, sure, 64, I'm not going to sit out and battle mosquitoes all night. I'll just bring my food inside where I don't have cable television, and I'll watch the deer eat the tomatoes out the window.
We'll make it work for you.
To all of our listeners out there, contact Nestor. Make sure you message him and give him your mosquito solutions. Carrie, before we let you run, remarkable to me when I look at the calendar, it's just now a little more than 2 years since we shut the country down. And small business went through a crisis. We've never seen anything like it since the Depression. You survive. You've come out. Still effects and impacts of the pandemic shutdown. And are there any lessons learned from that that you put to use today?
Well, as much as you try to get all your planning and everything done ahead, I think we have to do that even more so, just with some of the trying to get things in more than anything. I think taking care of each other, whether it's each other as employees or employees and customers, it's just become much more important. We're just tighter than we used to be because we do count on each other, I think, more than we had realized. And I think it's just not understanding how good gardening and being outside sans mosquitoes is just good for the soul. Just how much it makes us feel better about life and about each other and the community. We missed everybody. It's nice to have people back. Nestor wants to have people out on his deck to enjoy those couple of steaks and not worry about mosquitoes, but it's that whole outdoor life that I think helps bring us together. So yeah, we've learned a lot. And I think I really come to count on, I think, my coworkers and our owner. And because I've watched how everybody's worked together to try to keep it rolling.
You know, we didn't ask you, how is one of my favorite families, the Ford family? How are they doing it? I mean, tell folks a little bit about their history before you get out of here.
This is 60 years coming up, right?
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Right.
Yeah, so Punk and Billy Ford opened the place in April 13th, Friday the 13th, 1962. And we're at the helm until probably the last 10 years or so. And Andy Ford, Billy's son, Punky's nephew, took over. But I mean, it was interesting. Just growing up, it was the place for kids to work, I want to say, in Baltimore County. I went to Hereford High, and my choices were really Friendly Farms serving food or Valley View Farms. And we just had a blast. It was just a real kid place. The years that I came through, I'm going to say there were probably 20 couples that met and got married there. Just a very close-knit community. The owners are still there. I mean, well, Andy's there every day keeping an eye on us, making sure we're all doing the right thing. And so many different families. I have 5 brothers and sisters. They all work there. Our store manager, Tim McQuaid, has same 5 brothers and sisters. They all work there. And it's just the way it is. We just go on through. All of us have either met family or came with family at Valley View to work.
Doesn't get any more pot. Nestor, you asked a question and I don't want to lose it. Carrie, Nestor asked you, how do people, we don't want to assume everyone knows where Valley View is or how to get in touch with you. So I don't want to lose Nestor's question. How do they find Valley View?
We're out in Hunt Valley or Cockeysville as we came to know, but we're right on York Road. We're south of Hunt Valley, maybe 6-7 miles north of Timonium Fairgrounds on York Road. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. We have a website, any of those areas. In fact, there's some great information on our website about choosing trees and everything for your garden. Any of those areas, give us a call. We're out there and we're there every day. We still have live people answering the phones, which makes me very happy. So we lose them now and then, but we're pretty good about it.
Well, Carrie, I'll be honest, man. I'm in the Pennsylvania Dutch all the time. They've been old friends of mine, and Yasu has great Greek food. My wife worked around the corner there for years at Verizon before it became where McCormick is now. So we've spent but we never, ever had outdoor space. We got married. We moved to the same. Right. We just have all. She could grow basil, and it would really piss me off because the little bugs would come out of the dirt, and then I'm swatting bugs in the house.
Yeah, bugs are good. All bugs aren't bad.
No, bugs belong outside. By the way, you said Friendly Farm. You said that restaurant.
Yeah,
I'm going to make an admission here. Okay, again, I didn't know there was a lake in Patterson Park last year. I'm 53. I had never heard of Friendly Farm Restaurant until last year, and the reason I heard about it is because of the crab cake tour. And someone said you've got to have crab cake there. Then I went out and Googled it. I don't know that I've ever been on that road in that place up that far north off of 83. I've had friends that have lived. I've been to Hereford High School and been in that quarter. I don't know that I've ever been between Falls Road and 83, that far north up toward the reservoir, I guess, right? So crab cakes, right? I'm learning. I'm just learning. You throw a name out of a place that had never come to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's family style up there. So they, you know, you sit down and they bring all the food out to you. So whether it's crab cakes or fried chicken or a ham steak or steak, it's good stuff. I don't get up there
at all.
But it's good. It's good stuff.
Well, I appreciate you giving me, when you give me that Hereford thing and you start dropping places that I need to have a crab cake and you're old school like this, I'm figuring I'm going to learn more than just some good gardening when I get out with you as well.
That's right.
Carrie Engels here. And you know, I'll tell you this, next time around, okay, we're doing ticks. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
We can't worry about them yet. On behalf of Don Mohler, former Baltimore County executive, any other tips you need for Linda? Are you good with Carrie?
I think, listen, if we can save this plant, which Carrie says we can, Linda will be a happy camper.
That's right. And come out, ask for me. I'd love to show you around.
I'll stop watering.
We are coming, Carrie. We're coming for Tomato Tornado. I've put it on my calendar. April 30th, May the 1st. She will be in her glory as you show her all of the tomatoes.
Well, I forgot to tell you. So that's our 8th annual Tomato Tornado. We have our first Pepper Palooza the weekend after Mother's Day. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have a boatload of new peppers for people to try. Peppers are crazy. Hot peppers.
Pepper-palooza.
Nothing hot for me, but I love me some sweets now. You give me a little sweets for some sandwiches?
Well, we've got some strawberries, certainly, that you can grow, and all kinds of fruit trees. Blueberries are hot. Blueberries have been big the last few years. Grow those on your patio.
I'm telling you, Nestor, that we had no idea. It sounds ridiculous how much we would enjoy walking out every afternoon and just snipping some lettuce, 3 or 4 varieties of lettuce. The lettuce was spectacular. That's why I can't wait to get these seeds back in. Uh-oh. There you go, Nestor.
What's your dog's name, Carrie?
That's Jefferson.
Jefferson. Hi, Jefferson.
He brought a raccoon into me a couple of years ago into the house. It was great fun.
Oh, did they play? He didn't hurt the raccoon, did he?
He would have, but I had a vinegar bottle in hand and I got him to drop it and whatever. Yeah. He was okay. I mean, he's naturally a prey driven animal. These breeds. So I kind of have to watch it with him on that.
I'll keep my cat away from him. Carrie Engel here from Valley View Farms. Get on up and visit everybody up in Hunt Valley. We love taking care of local people. And now that I'm out in the county, I needed some help. I knew the mosquitoes were coming. My wife's talking all these outdoor activities. If you need any inside tips, obviously, Carrie appears on the local television from time to time, but is available. But not on Wednesdays and Thursdays, right?
On Wednesdays and Thursdays. I mean, I go in, but I just do my orders and get out.
All right. Well, we'll see you over the weekend as we get the tomato seizing and pepper palooza and all these other things going. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, I am Nestor. We're going to get back doing some Ravens, get ready for the draft. Obviously, opening day around the corner, as well as the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and our wise conversations continue. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.